Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I hear puppies, and I am Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, with two very angry puppies behind me. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 15th, 2011, episode 97, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
Can you start from, I am Jamie Jennings, and please add award-winning Horses in the Morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the whole thing over again, but I'll say we are award-winning. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah.
What day is it? Tell me.
It's Tuesday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. And it's beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. I'm
there
trying to get these puppies under control desperately before the show starts, but they're screaming in the background, so I'm going to need you to talk about the Red Cross for a moment. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, Jamie will be right back, and I did want to take an opportunity to be a little bit serious at the beginning of the show today. As most of you who are listeners of the Horse Radio Network for a long time know, I've been volunteering for the Red Cross for a number of years and helping train and things like that. They sent out a request to the volunteers over the last couple of days to ask us to do whatever we can to help with the fundraising efforts for Japan. Right now, there are 500,000 people displaced in Japan, and they are living in 2,000 Red Cross shelters that are set up across Japan. They're pouring relief into Japan from all over the world. But, you know, they have volunteers going in. What they really need is money. This is going to end up being one of the largest disasters as far as dollars is concerned, and especially if the nuclear power plants go south like they appear to be heading. So what they're needing right now is dollars, and it is so convenient that they have set up, and they did this a couple of years ago as well, and it worked very well, is all I need you to do is get out your phones, and you just need to text Red Cross, all one word, Red Cross, and you text that to number 90999. That's 90999, and I'm actually doing it right now, so I am a new text message, symbols, 90999, and in your subject, you just put Red Cross, all one word. I'm going to see what happens here.
I'm doing
it,
too.
And what are you? Okay. Well, you have an iPhone, too, and I'm using an Android phone. So I just typed Red Cross, all one word, to 90999, and what that'll do is it just puts $10 on your next phone bill. It automatically goes onto your phone bill, and I looked at the list of carriers that are participating in this, and it's about 50 long, so I'm sure that your carrier is participating. And all those $10 add up, and I am sure that, the last time they did this for, I forget which disaster it was, but they raised $10 million in people texting. So they're hoping to actually raise $20 million this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they just made 20 off the two of us doing this on the phone. So you guys, seriously, text Red Cross to 90999. $10 donation right there on your phone bill. You won't even miss it. You won't miss it. It's 10 extra
That's
bucks.
Right.
That's like you went over, you sent four too many text messages.
That's two cups of coffee at Starbucks.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't know if you watched the footage that came out yesterday of that one guy who did the video about 10 minutes long of the water coming down the street and then filling up the street. Did you see that one?
I did not, no.
It's been all over the place, and it is just amazing in how little a period of time, you know, in a matter of a couple of minutes, it went from dry streets in the middle of a town to the water above the second story and just taking the whole town with it. I mean, pretty much it was taking every house and building and cars. It was an amazing thing to watch. I know Jennifer and I watched it last night. And, you know, that gave you a feeling of how devastating water can be.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, if water can make, you know, the Grand Canyon, it just running through a town, it's going to decimate the whole thing. It's just, yeah, it's horribly sad. And it's probably, I mean, the most epic tragedy that you could even imagine. I mean, to a country that is so populated that there's nowhere you can go in that country where there's not like a billion people. I mean, so it's just, I'm stretching a little bit, but it's just it's an epic tragedy. And the Red Cross, you know, I did animal rescue for Hurricane Katrina. Glenn,
did you?
And,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I did. And when we went down there, basically we took our truck and trailer and we had donations and we were going to all these different places and dropping off, you know, pet food and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not kidding you. The only people we saw everywhere we went who were on top of it at all times had set up a booth. Like, I mean, they'd set up little collection centers every mile along the Gulf Coast was the Red Cross. They were the ones who had the ice. They were the ones who had the food. They were the ones who had the water. They were the ones the Red Cross was everywhere. Your money is very well spent.
I don't think people realize how much training we get in the Red Cross. That you really, before you're allowed to go out to a disaster, and especially an international disaster, you have to be qualified for that. There's a huge amount of training that you get and all kinds of rules and regulations. And, you know, you're held to a strict standard. And I think that's a wonderful thing because, you know what, you see that, just what you said. It's apparent when you're involved in a tragedy and deal with the Red Cross that they are at the highest of standards. You know, they do handle themselves very well.
Yeah. They're the ones that are on the scene. I mean, you guys are. That's it. So again, you can text Red Cross to 90999 to make a donation right there on your phone bill. So thanks everybody for participating in that. And I mean, obviously, hearts and thoughts and prayers and everything that we could possibly send out to Japan in the way of happy thoughts. We are sending, and I hope you guys all do the same. But other than that, we've got a pretty good show lined up for you today. And Jennifer, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
I'll tell you a little bit about it on today's Tuesday edition of Horses in the Morning. It's Monday. First up, we have we're going to welcome Don Endley from the Great American Wild West show, and he's going to fill us in on what cowboys wear in the morning. Stay tuned. And also what the gang is up to at the Wild West show this year. And because it's Monday, that means we will be catching up on Jamie's riveting weekend adventures. And additionally, there will be some doozies from Glenn's stimulating storehouse of news headlines from around the horse world. And hopefully, please, our Facebookers will be providing us with plenty of great stuff from their weekends.
I got to tell you this. I'm going to throw Don under the bus. We had Don on Endley from the Great American Wild West show a long time ago back on the Stable Scoop. And when I was setting up the interview, we set the time and everything, and Don's probably listening right now. He's going to kill me, and he probably can because he is a cowboy. But the last email, I got to throw him under the bus a little. He said, "Sounds good to me. I'll be sitting here in my boxers and boots on, might even put a hat on just for you, waiting for the phone to ring."
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for that.
And the first Daily Winnie. A And it goes out to somebody with the name at Cross Cruises posted on our website on one of the shows last week. You guys are the best. I listen to your show every day. Well, thank you, Cross Cruises. We appreciate that. Give us a call sometime. You know, I think there was a misunderstanding last week on our Facebook page. I think people think that we're not taking calls anymore, and that's not true. We would love to hear you from you at any time. Give us a call at 347-637-3238. Probably Jamie and I need to apologize. We haven't been announcing the number enough and haven't been encouraging people to call, and we probably need to get back to doing that. I think we just get so excited and talking every day, we forget to do something. So our apologies for that. And I think Jamie has a Daily Winnie, too.
And this is going to be the specific reason why I quit giving out the phone number. And I'll tell you why. My Daily Winnie goes out to Shauna Kroll. And she posted on our Facebook page. If you remember, Shauna, last couple weeks has been updating me. She's got a racehorse. I believe it's a trotter. I don't really know specifically because Shauna hasn't called us and told us about it. But she posted, Wildfire Wins, 158.2, new lifetime mark. What a good girl. So, Shauna, call us, 347-637-3238. Now, I bet it's much like Phyllis in Texas, where Phyllis said, I'll never talk to you guys when she left a voicemail. Yeah, we stalked her until she called. So, Shauna, do yourself a favor and call us because we will find out who you are and we will find out where you are and we will make you be on our show. So congratulations to Shauna and Wildfire. It was a big win, I guess, yesterday.
Horses in the Morning, the stalkers of the horse world. I can see it now.
I know, between Shauna... Yeah, Shauna, Phyllis, and Charles, poor people, they've just been stalked to death by us.
Well, now I know you have been absolutely bursting at the seams. By the way, it is so good to be back just doing a regular show. Yesterday was some freaking hard work. I had to, work. I had to think. I had to press buttons. It was just too hard for a Monday. So it was a fun show, and thanks, everybody, for being on, and we appreciate it. But it's just so nice to get and sit and talk to you again. We got all this stuff bottled up. We got to talk about.
Well, I had a crazy weekend. I had an awesome weekend, and I had a very scary day yesterday. So what would you like to start with?
Let's start with crazy.
Okay. Crazy. Well, let's see. What would the crazy one be? Crazy, scary, and awesome. Okay, let's create. Crazy is the fact that my husband and I have been. Okay, back up to tell you, I had a Dodge pickup truck, 2500, quad cab turbo diesel, 5.9 liter, that I love more than anything in the world. Like I love this
white.
Truck.
It
huh?
was white. It was white, right?
White. It's white.
Yeah, and had a dent in it from where you clobbered somebody last week or they hit you. I forget which that was.
The guy's my truck suffered no damage when the guy backed his Porsche into me. Okay, so.
Oh, that's right. That was the crying Porsche guy. I forgot about the crying Porsche guy.
This truck was, I have driven this truck for 120,000 miles. Okay, now mind you, this pickup truck is a 2001 work truck. So there's no bells and whistles. There's no power windows. I actually had to roll down the window. Like when somebody says, hey, roll down your window. You know, really, you just hit a button. No, I actually rolled mine down. There's no power lock. So if somebody was getting in the car with me, I actually had to go to that side of the truck and unlock the car because I couldn't reach over because the truck's so big. So I had an awesome truck.
You're about 4'2".
Yeah, I love this truck more than anything, and it was also a 6-speed, which meant the clutch was really hard to push down and really far up, so I actually was probably like 4 inches from the steering wheel by the time my foot pushed the clutch all the way down. So, I mean, I'd have to drive that sucker pretty close. So, I love
it. If the airbag ever went off, your face would have been smashed.
The airbag would go right into my chest because I was so close to the steering wheel. So I seriously doubt that the airbag would have even gone off because it was just so old and decrepit and dirty and gross, this truck. I mean, it was a work truck. So I had this truck. It was my first big girl purchase. okay, and women know what I'm talking about. When you first kind of go out on your own and you make your first big car payment or your first big purchase of any kind with no co-signers, you know, your daddy didn't help you. I bought this truck on my own, and I loved it. However, it was about done. I mean, it has plenty of life left in the engine, but the truck fell apart around the Cummins engine. It was a complete disaster. Literally, at times, everything worked in the mechanics of the car, but, like, the windows wouldn't roll down. Sometimes the doors wouldn't unlock. I mean, it was getting to the point where it was pretty bad. So we decided to upgrade the pickup truck and have been looking around for weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally found one. You can post a picture now on Facebook of my brand new Dodge. Okay, well, it's not brand new, but it's brand new to me. It's brand new to me, Glenn. That's all that matters.
I saw when you sent that picture this morning. I said, I know what Jamie did this weekend. She went shopping.
I have the absolute most awesomest husband in the entire world. Okay, his car needs so much work done that he actually really needs a new car too, but we can't afford to. So what does? He basically duct tapes his together and then gets me a new truck. I mean, he's like, but we need the truck more than I need a new car. I can fix my car. You really need a new truck. Oh, he is so sweet. I love him so much. So Dodge Ram 2500, 6.7 liter turbo diesel. It is fantastic. And when the guy told me the color of the truck, then I knew I had the name, the color of the truck. And now the name of my brand new Dodge, brand new to me, is the Black Pearl. It's the Black Pearl. How awesome is that?
Are you going to be wearing a patch too?
I might dress like a pirate every time I drive Black Pearl. I'm not lying. I'm going to put some big old eyeliner on. I'm going to get some dreads.
Carry a sword. I have a sword for you if you need it.
Oh, I love my new truck. So there you go. That is my husband is awesome. Fortunately, he has much better credit than I do. So he put it on his name. So we got a much better rate on the loan. So he's just awesome. Thank you so much. Love you. And now it's on Facebook. God, it's pretty. The Black Pearl, as it sits under the
Black Pearl. Now, is it already rigged up for your hitch and everything?
No, it needs three things. It needs the windows to be tinted because, dear God, the sun will kill you in your car here in Phoenix, Arizona. It needs a gooseneck hitch. It's got the bumper pull, but it doesn't have the gooseneck hitch. And it also needs some running boards or something because I literally...
You can't get in the truck.
I can't get it. It's four-wheel drive, so it's, like, jacked up even higher than my last truck. And I have to grab the handle and pull myself into the truck above the door. So Chad's like, okay, first things first, we need a hitch, running boards, and some tinting on the windows because he's like, you're not going to be able to do this.
We should remind new listeners that Jamie is about 5'3", so... There's a reason she has difficulty getting into a large truck.
Well, and the first time Glenn meets me, he goes, wow, you're a lot shorter than I thought you were going to be. Things do not say to a woman when you meet her. Okay, Glenn, thank you very much.
That was the first thing I said at the airport.
You know, you could have said, wow, you're prettier than I thought. Or, so, you know, wow, your hair is so long. No, wow, you're really short. First thing you said
when
to
I
me.
When I talked to you, we had talked a couple times before you flew out here to meet, before we hired you for the show, and when I talked to you, you sound taller. I just did. You just sounded tall. It was the first thing when I saw you, I went, my, geez, you're short.
Well, you know what? You sound short, okay? So even though you're 6'2".
But when I had talked to you, you sounded pretty. So that was, I would assumed that.
Oh, okay. My save. You were a liar. You're a liar because you put your foot in your mouth enough on this show to know that we will bust you on that. And Jennifer will jump in and she will come into your room and she will strangle you with your microphone cord. So you better.
I'll just put him on mute and not tell him.
Oh, there you go. I'll be talking away. Nobody knows nothing. Okay.
So that was crazy, right?
That was crazy awesome, okay?
Okay.
Our awesome story is coming up later. My student, who is 74 years old, Mary Lou, is going to call in and tell us about her first dressage show over the weekend. She's going to give us a history on this horse because this horse has some stories to tell, and she's been a part of his life for a very long time. And then she's going to tell us how she did in the horse show, so that is going to be very, very cool. I'm so excited to have her on the show. And then yesterday, oh, my gosh, well, the puppies have been wild. So Chad and I have decided that there's something we need to do in the morning is we take them on a walk. Now, when I say we take them on a walk, what that means is we put them in the back of our gator and we go out to the desert, we unload them, and we drive as fast as we can, and we make them chase us.
No exercise for you guys.
I'm not running. So we take him out to the desert and we get out.
I can just see these
two
little puppies chasing the gator. That's funny.
I'm going to have to take pictures of it next time we do it because I experienced something yesterday that is going to make me rethink our voyages into the desert because it is now time in the desert where it's starting to warm up and the desert animals and wildlife are coming out. As I realized that we are driving down this trail, and Chad is driving, and he's in the driver's seat, and he's looking back at the puppies, making sure they're following us. I am staring ahead on the trail, and I see something that sent chills up and down my spine. You know, when you get really scared and your butt goes numb kind of thing, like, oh, my God. I screamed. I screamed like I was in one of those movies. I hit a note that I did not know I could hit. Even Chad was like, I have never heard that high of a pitch. I was like Carrie Underwood at the Grammys yesterday when I hit that high note. Because right in front of us on the trail, Glenn, is the biggest live rattlesnake that I have ever seen. And I've never really seen one live. So let's just say that this was an anaconda because I had never seen anything before. It must have been about 6 feet wide, 6 feet tall. And it's laying directly across the path in front of us where Chad, again, is driving at about 15, 20 miles an hour with the puppies behind us. One is on his side of the gator. One is on my side of the gator. And we're running. I scream. Chad runs directly over the rattlesnake. Now, it coiled up, so of course he didn't kill it. He just made it mad. As I'm screaming...
And now the puppies are coming, right?
Well, they're right next to us. Fortunately, as we ran over it, it coiled up and, like, squished into a ball or whatever, so it did get hit by the tires. I'm assuming this is what happens in rattlesnake world. I have no idea. And the puppies were next to us, so the puppies weren't close to the rattlesnake at all.
Yeah.
But the fact that we ran over it just made it mad. And as I'm screaming, Chad goes to slow down. Like, what's wrong? I'm like, go! And so he floors it. I turn around, Glenn, and I look at this because he didn't know it was a rattlesnake until I turned around. And I see this thing. I mean, it was like one of those paintings where it was coiled at the bottom, and then his head and neck were like in that venomous striking position that was literally 2 feet off the ground. And down to his right is his little rattle going, I mean, as angry of a snake as I have ever seen, and I was scared to death.
Did the puppies go back to investigate?
No, fortunately. I was like, go, 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 and they just chased the gator. They didn't even see it coming, but I will tell you that today or tomorrow, I am getting an appointment. I called him yesterday, left a message. There is a rattlesnake vaccine now for like $20.
Really?
Yes, out here they sell rattlesnake vaccines for your dog. So all my dogs are going to get vaccinated for a rattlesnake bite this week.
Poor Chad probably thought you were going absolutely insane.
I don't know. I don't know what he thought, but all I was like, drive! I'm taking my camera next time because I am going to snap a shot of one of these angry rattlesnakes. Oh, my God. It was horrible. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm done now. My butt's numb even talking about it. My blood pressure is high.
We have so much to talk about today. I wanted to thank you for that, though. By the way, my face hurts from laughing. Jackie Baker, who was in, sat in with us on Friday, who was up at my house and was in the studio here, she just wrote on our Facebook page, "I'm listening for inspiration while I write up my behind-the-scenes look at Horses in the Morning. It will be up soon." So we have to be good today, I think, because I think she's looking for us to redeem ourselves from Friday and actually have a good show today so that she can write about it. So it was a good start. You had a good start there. Maybe after those stories, she'll actually say some good things about it. Hey, something happened over the weekend that we talked about last week, and that was the Red Hills Horse Trials. And a couple friends of the Horse Radio Network and of our Horses in the Morning show won the thing. Of course, Allison Springer won the CIC 3-star, the big one that was held down there. And we had Allison on, if you remember right, a couple weeks ago. Sweet girl, just a lovely girl with a heck of a horse named Arthur, and she won that event. 1A, get this, you had to pay for your new car. She didn't have to pay for her new Mercedes SUV. Yes, there's pictures of her driving her new Mercedes SUV that she won at that event, and also a little bit of cash. So Allison's feeling pretty good this morning about the upcoming eventing season and about Rolex coming up with Arthur. And congratulations to Allison. What a great job she did. And you'll hear an interview with her on the Eventing Radio show that Chris put out Monday morning. It's the wrap-up show. Just go to eventingradio.com. It'll be the last show there. Plus, also, there were interviews with a number of the other riders and winners from the different classes and that were held over the weekend on that show. One of them we want to play for you here real quick, and that is from Jessica Phoenix. And, of course, Jessica joins us every week to talk about – or every week, every month to talk about being a mommy. And Jessica is just so delightful, and we love having her on the show. And we had her on to talk about her experience here at the event over the weekend that was coming up. And so let's hear what she had to say with Chris in this interview about her weekend.
Well, I'm joined now by a great friend of the Horse Radio Network, Jessica Phoenix, who's had a pretty cool weekend, haven't you, Jess?
Absolutely. An incredible weekend. I'm so, so happy with it. It couldn't have gone any better.
Well, we just completed the CIC 2-star, where she maintained her overnight second place with Pavarotti.
Yes.
What a lovely name. How did he get that name, Jess?
That's a great question. I actually don't know this horse really well. I've just been riding him since the middle of January.
Uh-huh.
He's owned by Don Good. And
that is a good name.
Yeah, great name.
Well, you can't go wrong, can you?
But just an incredible horse and such a sweetie to be around in the barn.
He looks an absolute darling, you know.
He totally is. Yeah. You can just see it in his eyes. Yeah. They're like puppy dog eyes. Yeah. He's a little teddy bear.
Yeah, and he can jump.
Oh my gosh. He is like a weapon. He is so much fun to ride.
Yeah, that was super. That was super.
Just awesome.
And so tell us about him in a second, but I just want to recap on your weekend, because you won the advanced division with Exploring.
Yes.
That was nice.
It was awesome.
And then the open prelim, B, Section B, you came fourth. Didn't you? Fourth with Bay Street, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's not a bad weekend's work.
Excellent weekend. No complaints.
All right. Well, let's start with your 2-star horse, Pavarotti. How the weekend opened up. Did you have the horse under you that you thought you would have coming into the event?
We actually just went through training camp with our coach, David O'Connor, last week. And he's been so good on the flat, but he comes to the shows and he just gets a little bit nervous in his trot work. But comparable to Pine Top, which was his last event, it was just so much better. I couldn't have expected any better from him. He was so good.
Good boy, huh?
Yeah.
And enjoyed the atmosphere out there with the crowd yesterday?
Yeah. Cross country, he was just spot on. Like, he didn't react to any of the crowds. He was really good. He definitely had a couple of green moments cross country. But man, has he got a lot of heart, and he just kept going. He's such a good horse.
Yeah, and he did the business today.
He did, like a pro.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
With all,
super.
Like, I don't know that
I don't think he touched
ever,
anything, did
no.
he?
No, and he's never seen crowds like that, and that's a pretty intimidating ring for horses,
yeah.
being surrounded by crowds. So I am super excited about
yeah,
that horse.
Yeah, because I mean, that's not a flat sand arena in there. You've
no.
got to keep them focused.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of terrain.
Yeah. Well, he did the business, and so did your other horse, Exploring.
Exploring, I just cannot say enough good things about. I love that horse. It's taken us 10 years, but he's finally won his first advanced.
It's his first advanced win, is it?
Oh, that's his first win at the advanced level.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did that weekend unfold? Talk us through that.
His dressage has just been progressing. He's just feeling stronger through his body, so much better in his muscle and his movement, and a lot more rideable in his mind. He was a very excitable horse. Even to this day, he acts like a two-year-old at some moments. But he just, this whole year through his competitions, he's been really good in dressage, like just relaxed and enjoying it. And cross-country yesterday, he can be a little bit spooky, so I definitely had lots of riding to do, but man, was he good. He just gives you such a good feeling going cross-country. And then show jumping, he was excited. He was very excited to go into show jumping, but he really held his composure in the ring, and I couldn't have asked any more of him.
Tell us about Bay Street, your open prelim horse.
Bay Street is actually owned by one of my students, April Simmons. She's actually for sale.
You heard it here on the Eventing Radio Show.
You heard it here. She rocked around Red Hills. Just unbelievable. She's a nippy little thoroughbred mare. Really fun to be around, makes quick decisions, like really neat to sit on that way. Such a cool jumper. And I thought, this is only her second or third prelim, and I thought this was a lot to ask of a prelim horse, and she
yeah.
just stepped up to the challenge. She was so good.
Oh, well, that's great. Now, so she may well have gone in the near future now that we've put her on the market right
yes,
here.
Yes, that's right. Commissioned to Horse Radio Network.
There you go. There you go. Well, let's talk about where you're going next and what you're going to do with these other horses now that they've got blue ribbons and red ribbons.
Yeah. The next one on our schedule will be Poplar Place and then The Fork. And
Who are you going to take? Are you going to take both of these horses?
I think
Pavarotti.
Pavarotti will do Poplar and then The Fork, and then I think we'll plan to do the CCI two-star at Jersey, and Exploring will do The Fork and hopefully Rolex, and Bay Street is aiming for the CIC one-star at Poplar, and then hopefully the CCI one-star at Florida Horse Park.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to see you at the Rolex event then in a few weeks' time.
Fingers crossed with Exploring and Exponential.
And Exponential, of
yep.
course. Good. So you'll have two rides.
Hopefully, yes.
Well, you know we're going to be there as well, live each day.
Perfect.
And Glenn is going to be there with the Horses in the Morning show in the morning with Jamie.
Excellent.
They're going to do an hour and a half each morning, and I'm going to do an hour and a half in the evening with the Eventing Radio show. So you can go on and talk to them about, you know, like you know, the family and all the, you know, the fluffy stuff. They do all the fluffy stuff. We do the real hardcore.
The real hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
On the
scenes.
That's it.
You got it.
That's it. This is all about the sport here on the Eventing Radio Show. All right, Jess. Well, we will catch up with you then, if not before. Thank you so much, and congratulations to a really fabulous weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think she was trying to talk a little trash there, Glenn.
I think so, too. I think we got trash.
We'll remember that. Yeah, seriously. I don't know what has been in Chris's Wheaties these past couple days, but I'm telling you what. Red Hills did good for her.
I'll tell you what. That sunshine, that vitamin C must have been, or vitamin D or whatever. What is vitamin? What's sunshine? E, D, F? I don't remember.
D, but she's having some other vitamins, like vitamin V. As in vitamin vodka or something, I don't know. We'll talk more to Chris, I'm sure. This is not the end of it, Fluffy. We can be hard-hitting and moody. Hey, before we get to our first guest, Don Ensley from the Great American Wild West Show, I want to tell you about our sponsor for today is Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family vaccines or learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's PfizerAH.com.
The Great American Wild West Show is action, music, and history. Daredevil riders, Hollywood horses, thrilling and spectacular entertainment for your whole family. You have to see it to believe it. Legends of the Wild Wild West come alive. Buffalo Bill Cody and Annie Oakley. A star-spangled celebration of the American West. The Great American Wild West Show is spectacular.
And we have Don Ensley on with us from the Great American Wild West Show. I can't do it as good as he did it. Hi, Don, and welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. Howdy. How are you, too? I noticed I have your picture up on the website as I was listening this morning, and I noticed you're the tall one and Jamie's the good-looking one.
I love you, Don. I don't know you, but I love you already.
Okay.
Are you a cowboy or what?
I love it.
Don,
I like
you know,
that rattlesnake story.
Yeah. We threw you under the bus earlier. You know that, don't you, Don? I read your email to everybody about you sitting there in your boxers and your cowboy boots waiting to talk to us.
You got it. Just imagine that this morning as I'm having my coffee. I looked out the window and there was about 8 deer ran across my front yard.
Oh, awesome. I get rattlesnakes and coyotes, and you get deer. You win.
Well, you know, we have coyotes here, too. At night, you can walk out on the porch, and it sounds like 1,000 coyotes across the field. And the other day, one ran across the yard. We have a little dog, a little Papillon dog named Daisy, and we have to be real careful when we take her outside. We've got about 6 or 7 acres here at this place, and the coyotes are always on the lookout for a new meal.
Now, where do you live, Don? Where are you at?
Wait, hold on. Before you get there, that is not a cowboy's dog. A Papillon? A Papillon belongs to
a
cowboy?
She's a great dog. She's the first small dog that Sharon, my wife, and I have had. And I've never really understood how you could get so attached to a small dog. She sits in your lap at night and sleeps and licks you on the cheek. So she's a pretty nice little dog. We've usually had larger dogs, border collies and things like that, but we've had this one for, I guess, 10 years now, and she's about 13 years old.
Aww. Aww, he's a softie.
But she's probably not a cowboy's dog.
It takes a real man, Don, to admit they own a Papillon. That takes a real man.
Yeah, and to set on the phone in your boxer shorts and cowboy hat. I do have my boots on this morning.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Wow.
Where are you from? Where are you calling in from?
I'm originally from Arkansas. I was born and raised in Arkansas, in sort of the north central part of Arkansas, about 90 miles from north of Little Rock. And I've lived in Branson, Missouri for the last almost six years. And I'm calling you now from our farm in Arkansas, a little 6 or 7 acre place that we come to and spend some time. But for the most part, we call Branson, Missouri, our home. We moved there, Sharon and I, my wife of almost 45 years, we moved to Branson 5 years ago, and we're in the process now with some developers and builders up there to build our permanent home base for the Great American Wild West Show at State of the Art, a couple thousand seat arena indoor facility with all the lighting and sound. So that's why we are in Branson, but we do spend some time back at our place in Arkansas, and that's where I'm calling you from now, in the Ozarks, the very beginning of the Ozarks.
Wow. So this is very exciting. I didn't know that little detail. First of all, tell people, what is the Wild West Show?
Well, the Great American Wild West Show, that's the official name of the show that we own and created and produce and do everything. I'm the official stall cleaner, if you want to put a title on me. That's what I'm best at. we started this, my wife and I, and our son and daughter-in-law are all together in this thing. Our son Tim and his wife Mandy, they are the producers, not producers, but stage managers of the show. They literally make the show happen when it's time to start the show at say 8 o'clock on any given night. The music builds and the lights flash, and Tim and Mandy, as stage managers and production managers, they're the ones who literally keep the action rolling and the people moving in and out of the arena on cue and on their specific music cues and lighting cues. So everything is done almost like a Broadway play in some way. But I created this show in the mid to late 80s when I was called into the Houston Livestock Show complex, the Astrodome, and all of that big complex down there. They needed a show of some kind to go into an arena there about 6 o'clock each night for a couple of weeks during all of this festivities. And I put together what at that point we called an act show, a variety show, with trick riders and trick ropers and all kind of acts for about 45 minutes each night. And that's really how this began, with that sort of condensed version of what we do now. And we had managers of state fairs and festivals and buildings all over the country. They always come to the Houston event, and they saw what was happening with this show, and they would say, can you bring this show to my state fair or to my event next year? And that's really how it grew to what it is now, what is an hour and a half production, and it's really spectacular, if I can say so myself without bragging or sounding too much like I'm bragging. It's really a great show, and it's the kids love it, and mom and dad love it. Mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, who come out and watch these shows all over the country, tell us it brings back good memories and good times in their life when they sit around and watch the old cowboy movies and grew up like I did on Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and the Lone Rangers. So we do a lot of things that have that effect on the older folks like myself. I'm 62 years old. So we bring back a lot of memories to that era of people. And then the kids who come with their grandparents or their parents, they're seeing things that they've never seen before in their life, like horses and riders standing on top of horses, jumping through rings of fire, and our stagecoach with six horses pulling the Old West stagecoach as fast as it can go. So it's really a great, big, huge variety show of almost every kind of act, Western-style act that you can imagine.
Now, if Jamie and I get to come one of these days and watch your show, do we get to go in the big chuck wagon going at 90 miles an hour?
Oh, sure. You can ride the stagecoach. You can drive, and Jamie can ride shotgun. We'll give her our shotgun.
I don't think Jamie's going to go anywhere if I'm driving.
Well, we'll just switch. She can drive, and you can be the shotgun rider.
Oh, that's even scarier. She'll see a snake scream and we'll all die. I mean...
Don, I'm looking at the pictures on your website, and it's wildwestshow.net. And what I want to do is I want to be the guy doing all the trick roping on top of the stagecoach as it's going around. That is awesome.
You've got it. We've got a lot of performers in the show, and any one of them could teach you to do almost anything you see there. They're all outstanding professionals, and those performers that you see, whether it's the trick roper on top of the stage with spinning what we call in the Western world the big loop. That's what's called the big loop. That thing could be 50 feet in diameter and even more at times. And they do that on horseback, too. They can run around the arena on their horse and actually have that big loop spinning around the horse as they're galloping around the arena. So we can teach you that in about probably 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm in, because I've always wanted to learn how to rope. I don't know how to do anything with the rope at all. I don't even know how to coil it up. So within a certain way that it stays coiled. So between that and, let's see, I want to ride the longhorn steer. Is that a guy riding a bull?
That's a longhorn steer that you're probably looking at now on the website. We actually have a herd of longhorns from Texas. We have a fellow in the show who's one of our premier performers that brings a big semi-truck of longhorn steers. Some of them are cows, but they are longhorns, and they have horn spread, some of them of 7 and 8 feet from point to point. So we really put a little of the history of the cowboy and the longhorns and the cattle drives that you read about in history books and see in the movies. We incorporate all of that into the show as a scripted storytelling part of the show, and bring people right into the Old West with the cowboys pushing and driving the longhorns right up the trail in the middle of the arena. And we do all of this with a lot of lighting effects. It's not done just in an open, lighted arena. We have lots of lighting effects with shadows and suspense and thunder and lightning crackling in the background as the ghost riders in the sky push the longhorns into the arena.
Now, okay, I'm going to go with that, but I don't remember in the history books the cowboys ever riding the cows with a bridle and saddle on. But I'm going to save that for when I see the show. And can you tell us where and when we can see them?
Yeah, our show is coming up this year, and we'll have more. We'll add more as the year goes by. Our first one coming up is in Rainesville, Alabama, and it'll be the first time we've taken the show to Alabama. We're going to Rainesville in May, the 4th and 5th. We'll do two shows, and they have a beautiful indoor facility there. They've just opened in the last couple of years, called the Northeast Alabama Agri Center, and it has a beautiful 4,000-seat arena inside this complex. So we'll do the show there on the 4th and 5th of May, and then in June, I believe on the 3rd and 4th, we're going into Spanish Fork, Utah, for the City of Utah. They're having their first annual Wild West Days celebration. It'll be a whole weekend of activities, and our show will be the highlight and the main attraction each night on Friday and Saturday night. And then in September, we're taking the Great American Wild West Show for the first time to Pomona, California, which is right outside Los Angeles. And we'll be there for 13 days, and we'll do four shows a day at the L.A. County Fair. And don't let the word county fool you, because the L.A. County Fair is the largest county fair in the world, and it is the fourth largest fair of any kind in North America. And they'll have almost 1.5 million people attending this fair in those days, and we'll be there from the 9th of September through the 25th. In their main arena, doing four shows a day.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, Don. You know, I love this stuff, and I'm so excited that so the project is moving along in Branson. That looks like, is it going to be like a dinner theater kind of thing, like Medieval Times is?
No, we don't plan to have dinner. There will be a restaurant if plans go as we hope they do, and there will be a restaurant connected to or close by the arena facility, is where a family can come and have dinner or lunch and shop and souvenirs and go to the show. So it's sort of a one-stop package thing, but we don't plan to serve dinner with the show. And the reason for that is our show is sometimes so intense and it's hard to do anything other than watch the show. The audiences tell us that it's the one and only thing that they literally bring their kids to when the kids don't want to get up and run around and go to the bathroom or go to the concession stand because they don't want to leave their seats. They're afraid they're going to miss something. Our show is very fast and nonstop. Everything flows right into the next thing, and it just keeps you kind of glued to the arena. So we want all the attention focused on what's going on in there instead of trying to eat or do something
trying
here to show
chicken.
People. Yeah, trying
well,
to eat your chicken.
This is great. You promise now, if we show up at your show.
Of course, we might have some rattlesnake appetizers. You know.
You promise if we show up at your show, you're going to put us on a chuck wagon and she's going to do some roping thing, right?
I promise you. I'll put you, we'll dress you up like Buffalo Bill and dress Jamie up like Calamity Jane, and we'll just have a big old
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wasn't Calamity Jane
vice
like
versa,
a good
whichever
shot?
You feel comfortable with. You can be Calamity Jane, and Jamie can be Annie Oakley.
Buffalo Bill?
Yeah.
Don, we appreciate it. And good luck with the Branson thing. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Well, thank you. We hope to have it hopefully maybe up and running or at least close to it in the next year and a half or so. It's moving pretty fast. It got kind of stopped at one point. We actually had building started and was really on the way in late 2007, early 2008, and then all the kind of the money world kind of went crazy at that time everywhere and stopped us and slowed us down. But we're kind of back on track now, I think. So I'll keep you updated. Hopefully in the next 24 months, we'll be up and running up there.
All right. Sounds good, Don. Thank you very much. That's wildwestshow.net. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, the website is www.greatamericanwildwestshow.com.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Don.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Don.
Don Ensley, that show sounds exciting. Maybe we'll have to go to the one in Pomona, California. It's not too terribly far away. But I'm excited because I'm telling you, Glenn, if you just stalk someone enough, they will call the show. Because we were talking this morning about Shauna, and I said, Shauna, if you don't call the show today, I'm going to find you, and we will make you be on the show. Well, guess what? Shauna's on the phone right now. So this is Shauna Cole, our Facebook poster, who also, Shauna, you could probably tell us a lot better. You race standardbreds?
Yes, we do.
Well, first of all, good morning, and tell us about it.
Well, good morning to you, too. It's very nice to talk to you. And, the Wildfires, she won last night in 158-2, and I think it was a new lifetime mark for her.
Yay!
And she raced awesome. Yeah, she's a really, really nice mare.
So how many horses do you have?
Yes, it's a trotter, yes. And
okay.
We have eight.
You have eight. Okay, so do you have
yeah.
trotters and pacers, or do you have a mix of both?
No, we have a mix of both. It's about even. I think we have four trotters probably and four pacers. So
okay,
it's a mixture of both.
Oh, and where are you in
Pompano
the world?
Park, Florida. Or Pompano, it's in Pompano Beach, Florida, South Florida.
Oh, well, I don't feel sorry for you at all.
Oh, no.
Gorgeous down there.
It's a bright blue sky, fluffy white clouds, 70, 75. It's beautiful down here today.
Perfect trotting
awesome.
Weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
so
she raced really, really well. So we were very, very happy.
And who's she by?
She is by a Florida sire called Flank Famously. He's had a lot of really good horses, sired horses in Florida. And so she's kind of well-bred. You know, not like the ones up north, but, you know, for Florida, she's pretty well-bred. So,
well,
and she's just a nice girl.
And I think last week or a week or two ago, she came in second or third that you posted. And so this was a big win. Oh, my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, she was third last week. She raced. She did not have a good trip. She was four wide down the backside. You know, she just come up a little short, but she finished third and raced really, really good. And last night she finally got a little bit of a trip. She came second over, which is there. You know, she followed a horse, and then in the last turn, he just tipped her three wide, and she just kind of swooped the field,
blasted off. That's awesome. So, do you have a winner's circle photo that you can post on our Facebook page?
Not yet. We can get one though. Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay.
I don't
good,
really
good,
know
good.
How to. I don't really know how to post it.
I don't
well,
either.
Well, not you can email
Glenn
it to
tell
us
you.
Too. Yeah, you could email
What's
it
that?
To us, too. Just send it to me Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com, and I can post it up there for you.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah,
that's awesome.
No problem there. We want the picture.
Okay. All right. I will get one. It would be no problem. No, she's
well, then,
good,
well,
and it was really
well,
fun.
Well, now tell us, is it a? Do you guys race year-round down there, or do you have meets, or how's that work?
Yes, they race year-round. They just signed a contract with the Isle of Capri, the horsemen did, so that's a really good thing because it's been a contention for a good many years. I really can't even tell you how many, five, six maybe. And so they just reached this three-year contract, and so that's a good thing. And we're going to race now till August, and then start till like the 1st of August, and then we're going to start back up in September. So that's really good for people that, like my husband and I, who really don't want to go north anymore. You know, we've been there, done that for, you know, 25, 30 years. And, you know, we just, you know, you get tired of traveling. And so it's a good thing for us.
Well, you may get tired of traveling, but you don't get tired of winning and being in the money. Being in the money always is a good thing.
That's right. And whenever they're in the money, we're happy.
Well, Shauna, good job. Congratulations.
Thank you. You guys are the best hosted of guys.
Well, thank you. Do you listen in the barn there?
No, I can't. No, I can't. So I just download them and listen to them the next day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Keep us informed and keep posting on our page what's going on, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
We don't have to stalk you anymore. Ha ha.
Bye, Glenn. Bye, Jamie.
Bye, Shauna.
Bye, Shauna.
Oh, well, the song today is brought to you by the award-winning Leather Therapy. Leather Therapy, scientifically formulated, earth-friendly products make caring for leather a whole lot easier. Leather Therapy's Wash and Restore cleans, conditions, and protects your leather tack against mold. And their Laundry Solution and Rinse conditions leather chaps, full seat breeches, and sheepskin in the washing machine. And their newest member of the family is Saddle Pad and Blanket Wash and Rinse, and it brightens and eliminates odors on blankets, waterproof turnouts, and saddle pads. So you can, and you know what, even dog beds, even Zenyatta dog beds will be clean and fresh after they are washed with Leather Therapy products. So give them a try. Just search for Leather Therapy. You can find it at most major retailers out there. And we actually did get to visit with them a little bit at Ada and talk to them about their products. And there's a segment on Tack and Habit Show all about their products as well, where we go into much more detail. You can find that over at tackandhabit.com. And now a little horsing around.
So that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around. Going to the barn, my troubles drift away. My bed. Around. They can have me 40 hours a week. After that, I can be found. Hitting the trail with my saddle pal, I can be lost, but then I'm found. When I'm horsing around. If you love him like I do. what makes a horse lover's heart pound, pound. A horse and around. I need some horse and around.
That is Marianne Kennedy, Horsin' Around, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Pfizer Animal Health. I am Jamie Jennings, along with me, Glenn the Geek, and I'm super excited about our next guest because she is a dear friend of mine and a student of mine, and I'm very excited to have her on in just a couple minutes. But, Glenn?
I'm here.
All right, just checking, because there are some crazy news stories that are going on
there
right
are.
Now. First of all, I got to tell you guys, Uncle Mo won this
Uncle
past
Mo!
Weekend. Uncle Mo! He beat Rattlesnake Bridge by 3 3/4 lengths, ran a mile and 1:36.56, a very fast time for a 3-year-old, they report. So they say he didn't even get to where he wanted to be. He didn't let him go. He just won it handily. He had no competition. It was easy peasy. So he continues to be on the hunt for the Kentucky Derby.
And I was just looking here to see if I can't. Oh, here it is. Do you want to hear a little bit of the end of the race?
Yeah, totally.
All right, here we go. Let me see if I can get this going.
We're all in line.
Oh, no.
And let's go down the pike here to the
Now he's starting to edge away a bit from Rattlesnake Bridge, who's trying to stick to him. Rattlesnake Bridge is coming up to Uncle Mo once again, and they're head and head after 3/4 in 1:13.3. They're into the stretch, and John Velasquez says, let's go, Uncle Mo. Rattlesnake Bridge tries to stick with him. They've left the others far behind. Uncle Mo has a 2-length lead at the 16th pole, and he's opened up from Rattlesnake Bridge. Uncle Mo is back. His 3-year-old debut was a winning one. He took it by 4.5
Woo!
Lengths.
Oh. There you go.
Yay! Uncle Mo! I'm glad you had that. That's awesome because I didn't get to hear it. So I was just handily checking the phone in the car dealership going, did he win? Did he win? Did he win? Any news? Any news? Uncle Mo! I'm waiting on the loan to process for my new truck.
Isn't that a horrible experience, though, sitting there and then going through all the crap you have to go through to buy a truck nowadays?
Oh my gosh. It was
hours.
Like they offered me like next to nothing for my truck, which just made the mama bear in me come out because I love my old truck. And we were trading it in, and I was like, don't you tell me my truck is only worth $3,500. I'll come over this desk. Chad's like, just calmly sit down and let me deal with this. So yeah, we ended up with it, but then it takes like 5 hours to get everything done. So
done, yeah, exactly.
I said it's definitely a full day for sure. But hey, our next guest is on the phone, Glenn, and I want to introduce you guys to my absolute star student. Unless my other students are listening, then you guys are my star
students.
I'm just gonna say. But am I? Rebecca's like, what?
There's
going to
be nasty hate mail on our Facebook page here shortly.
I know. But you know what? She is a star right now because Mary Lou competed in her first dressage show over the weekend. And what is interesting about Mary Lou is this woman does not quit. Mary Lou, tell everybody, first of all, good morning. Tell everybody how young you are.
Oh, hey, good morning, guys. I'm
That's
a
way
young...
to start there, Jamie. Just introduce her, say hello, and say how old are you.
She's awesome.
I'm a very,
she doesn't care.
I'm a very young 73.
73.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because Mary Lou is out at the barn with her two horses every morning, almost every evening, turns them out, brings them in on the weekends. She rides every single day, and she's just, you know, if I could sit here and tell myself,
picture myself when I'm 73 years old. I hope I am half the woman that Mary Lou is, because she is just a driven, motivated individual who just never gives up. So Mary Lou this past weekend rode a horse named Tiny. And Mary Lou, if you would give us the, give us, you know, kind of where Tiny came from and the road that you guys have had together.
Oh, okay. I love to talk about Tiny, so I'm glad to do this. Tiny's 19 years old now. He spent his first few years with a very abusive owner trying to get him to be a race horse. He raced 51 times, never won a penny, often didn't finish. I got a bad reputation at the racetrack because he was very difficult to handle. And like I say, his owner was very abusive. I found Tiny at an auction. I did not know his history when I bought him. I found out after I'd owned him for a year from the local farrier who had taken care of him as his original owner. Tiny, I was told, was too much horse for me, had a bad attitude, but I immediately fell in love with Tiny, and I rode him, except he was the boss. He took me where he wanted to go, and I just went along with him. I did not know how to control him, and the gal who was teaching me to ride didn't know how to control him, so I just rode along. Well, what turned into was... I moved to Arizona, and the place I wanted to go with him was, they told me I could not ride him, that he wasn't broke and I didn't know how to ride. So he went into lessons, and I went into lessons, and I did better than he did because he didn't get any better. It was a cowboy training, and it was lots of spurs and lots of jerking back and forth on his bit. And the thing about Tiny is the minute you hurt him, he fights. And he'll fight you back until one or both of you are on the ground. So anyway, it's been a long time. Like I say, he's 19 years old now, and I bought him when he was 6. Well, just
now,
two and a half. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, how many times have you sold or given him away?
I leased him, I sold him, I gave him away each one time, and I sent him to a place in Colorado for a lady to try, or, she was interested in buying him and turned him down. So 4 times he's actually left my control.
And he just was like a bad penny.
Yeah,
coming back.
Well, he always went with the thing, if it doesn't work out, I want him back. Because I knew what would happen. A horse that you can't do anything with generally goes at that time to the slaughter. And I said, just bring him back if it doesn't work. So he always came back.
Now, you and I met when I think you were extremely frustrated with some riding lessons that you were taking. And I'll just tell you, the first lesson I taught Mary Lou, all I had her do was take Tiny in circles around jumps. Because it was like... the only immovable object that I could get him to circle around. So I said, just keep circling him. Just keep circling him. And he was jigging. His head was up. He was wild. And I'm like, wait a second. This horse is 17? There is no way this horse is 17 years old.
Yep. What happened? And I think you were the one that broke through with him because you didn't create pain for him. You didn't jab him with spurs. You didn't cross back and forth with the bit and hurt his mouth. You just were very quietly demanding. Say, yes, you will do what I ask. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what I ask you to do. And it was just that kind of, that was the kind of pressure he needed. Just gentle demands. And he has responded remarkably, just remarkably. And for the first time since I've owned him, I'm riding him.
Yeah, Mary Lou rides him.
Outside of the first year and a half when he was taking me for rides,
And Tiny has a very interesting history, and I mean, even to the point where he's been lost in the wilderness and returned to Mary Lou. So when you say he's been leased, sold, you forgot to mention he's also been lost and then returned. So he has definitely had an exciting life, especially 51 races. Half the time didn't even finish, and he's a quarter horse. So I don't know how long he was running, but I mean, if you can't finish a quarter mile, you've got some issues. And Mary Lou, I don't want to take the credit for fixing him at all, because I really think he was in a place where he was ready to learn. And I think that with the patience and time and money that you spent in this horse, I think that's why he came around, because it wasn't me. It was definitely you. I only rode him once a week. So, you know, it was you. But I want to point out that I rode Tiny in his first horse show, was it last fall? And I came out of the arena.
Yeah.
I came out of the arena and I handed the reins to Mary Lou, and I looked at her and she was crying. And tell us why you were crying.
Well, for the first time in the 13 years that I had owned him, I saw what he could have been if somebody who had the skill and the knowledge about horses had gotten hold of him at a younger age. And I thought about all the people who had told me, get rid of this horse. He's too much for you. He's unstable. He's got a bad attitude. Get rid of him before you get hurt. And I didn't listen to anybody, and I was glad I didn't.
Well, he's a special horse, and you're a special woman. And so she's been practicing very hard on her first dressage test. And Glenn, I would like for you to go ahead and post the picture on Facebook. Mary Lou, I snapped some photos of you, some when you weren't looking, while you were at the horse show this past weekend. And, you know, this is a big challenge, because other people had also told her to put Tiny to sleep because he was so rotten. But this woman persevered, and 73 years old, did her first ever dressage test this past weekend, and I don't think I have ever been as proud of anybody as I was this past weekend. Mary Lou came out of the arena, and this time it was me who was crying, because she did it. She really, really did it, and I was so proud. And Mary Lou, tell us about, you know, going in the test, and then you can, you know, kind of walk us through that, and then tell us how you did.
The preparation for the test was really up and down. You know, one day he would do fairly good, and then the next day he was absolutely rotten, and I didn't know what to do with him. When it got time for the test day, I had told Jamie, I said, you know, I said, all I want to do is look respectable, and I'm just going to go in, and I don't want to call her because I don't want anyone to distract me. I just wanted to go in and zone out and just enjoy riding this horse that I've worked so hard on. And we went into the arena, and it was like a little dream. You know, I was not aware of anybody around me. I was not aware of the judges. I was just Tiny and me and the course. And we got through it, I thought, fairly well. And the first thing I heard were people clapping when we were done. And I thought, oh, they clap for everybody. Forget it. So we went out. Everybody said, you know, oh, you did a good job. You did a good job. And I thought, you know, they're just being nice. So we went in for the second one, and Tiny's attitude started to show up. And it was like, hey, lady, I did this once, and I don't want to do it again. Well, we got in there. And he has a habit of jigging when you want him to walk, and we got into that a couple of times, but we got through it. At one point, he wanted to jig, and I just pushed him into a trot, even though we were supposed to be walking, because I thought it would be a better score thing than not being able to show your horse. So so I just, you know, made a mistake in the pad, and we got through it. And, you know, it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought I would be miserable. I thought that he's going to act up and I'm going to be embarrassed. But, you know, once I got in there, I didn't worry about it. I just, like I said, I zoned out. I knew what my pattern was. I knew, you know, what we were supposed to do, and we just tried to do it the best we could. After it was over, when I found out that things had gone as well as they had, I was amazed.
And Mary Lou, why don't you go ahead and say your first ever dressage show with this horse that nobody said you should be riding, where you persevered for 13 years. You've had this horse. His first horse show, his first dressage test, your first dressage test. How did you do?
We got a first place.
Wow.
A blue ribbon.
I didn't even know the answer to that. I've been sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting, crying. By the way, you didn't warn us about a Kleenex moment. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a delight. I had no idea.
I
was, like I said, we just wanted to get through respectably.
Well,
no.
You know, first place is very respectable.
Isn't that
congratulations.
True?
So now, when are we going to see you at, are you going to be heading to Wellington next year to do the circuit with him?
Maybe in 2 years.
Okay, good. All right. Well, look for that. Well,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
I think there's congratulations due. You're both being extra humble, and I just say it like it is. Just congratulations due on both your parts. Tiny wouldn't be here if it weren't for both of you at this point. So, and you wouldn't have had it first. So kudos to Jamie and to you for sticking it out all these years and not giving up on that horse when it would have been so easy to do that. So congratulations to both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's easy to not give up when you have Mary Lou as a student. So, you know, and it's so funny because I say she's a student. She's not a student. She's a friend and a mentor of mine as well. It's just that level of perseverance and success and you know, a big heart that I would like to have from Mary Lou, and that's what I'm learning from her every week as well when we spend time together. So I want to thank you, Mary Lou, for rubbing off on me in the most positive ways and showing me that it can be done. Whatever you set your mind to, it can be done. And I am so unbelievably proud of you, and I want to say thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you. You know, I thank you for everything.
I'm going to cry again.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to have to jump in here or something. Well, you guys, thank you so much, Mary Lou. We appreciate you coming on and telling the story and getting up so early this morning and doing that. And best of luck. You know, good luck in what's coming up, and I'm sure Jamie will keep us informed, and we'll have you back the next time you win blue.
Okay. I look forward to that.
All right.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
See you Wednesday.
Bye, folks.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is she not the awesomest?
You always bust my chops when I do a story that requires Kleenex and I don't warn you. And look at you today.
Well, I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know that I was going to get all emotional.
Oh, my God.
But,
you had Jennifer and I over here bawling our eyeballs out.
Well, she's just an awesome woman, and I'm like I said, I'm really really lucky to be a part of her life and to be a part of the rogue horse that everybody said should be put down or sold or given away, and you know, I connected with him immediately, and you know, I like those hot crazy little thoroughbred, you know, hot blood things. So it just happened to work for the two of us. But she's definitely awesome.
I posted the picture on Facebook. He's a cutie, though. I mean, he's cute.
Yeah. Can you believe he's 19 years old? I mean, that's crazy. So I will send you the pictures
19,
of...
by the way.
I know. Just because he's in good shape now. But I'll send you the pictures of Mary Lou with her blue ribbon. She also took second place in her second test where she thought she did terrible. So she had a really good weekend, and thanks for letting me share that, and thanks you guys for listening. She's definitely, you know, an awesome inspiration. So there you go. That's enough. I'm done being emotional. Tell me about the boots, Glenn. You got to post a picture of the boots.
Oh, my God. This has been going around Facebook for the last day, and they are the most disgusting. You know, we're going to do a show on Thursday on spring fashion, and we're going to have a couple of guests in, including our friend Courtney from 3 Days, 3 Ways. She's sort of become the equestrian fashion diva of the equestrian world, and we're going to have Molly on over there from Dappled Gray and Chris from Equestrian Collection. We're going to talk all about what's coming up in spring fashion, sort of a little fashion show. And I certainly hope these don't come up because they are the most disgusting. And this leads back to one of the conversations I think we had early on. There's a whole little weird sort of subculture that gets into this stuff. But this is like mainstream. They are freaking boots. Boots, like boots for females that wear, you know, real women that wear these boots, not horse boots, women boots. And they are...
They're stiletto heel boots. Yeah.
Yeah, they're stiletto heel boots. And you can get tall ones and short ones, and they look like hooves. They have hair coming down the side, and they have hooves. For the toes are hooves. They look like horse hooves. That is just disgusting. And if you... We know a little bit about this. When we had our store, I won't go into the whole gory detail, there's a whole subculture of people who in parts of the world you don't want to know about, dress up and do this kind of thing and wear this kind of boot. And now it's going mainstream in the fashion world.
Yeah, this is bizarro. Imagine, okay, your horse's leg from below the knee all the way down to the ground. That is the boot, and then there is a stiletto part of the heel that comes from behind the fetlock. So you've got the lower half of a horse's leg with a stiletto heel behind the fetlock to support the woman's heel. I don't know. This is so weirdo, bizarro, gross. I can't even imagine. Now, I would like to point out that it is imitation hoof. It is made out of carbon fibers. And it does use 5,000 individual horse hairs to complete the look. They've got a zip front. I'm hoping I'm describing these well. They come in either knee length or ankle length. And let's see, model Louise Denton from Essex, which is, I guess, in England, she says they're really comfortable and almost make you feel like you want to get on the track and gallop down the final furlong. No, I don't think so.
No.
I think
no.
They're gross.
They're really disgusting. Actually, I'm going to post a picture of them on Facebook later and ask what people think. But I can't wait to see the comments. I'm not often speechless. That's not something I've been accused of too often. But these kind of have me speechless. I'm just kind of grossed out. And you know that the imitation hoof is made out of, or did you say about the 5,000 individual horse hairs?
Yeah, I did. I did.
You
that's
did?
Crazy.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because, yeah, that's just weird. Hey, to go on to another story here quick that is just remarkable and not gross and disgusting like the boots, remember we talked about Rodeo Houston coming up last week and it was a great big rodeo? I think we talked about it with Alan. Well, they have an auction there every year. What was that?
I was going to say, if you were talking to Alan about it, I don't remember. I usually just tune out when he's on. Go ahead. It's like it's new to me.
he said that Rodeo Houston's one of the biggest rodeos and blah, blah, blah. And, well, they have an auction there every year. And a student from the town of Katy, I think it is, Katy, she did a color pencil drawing of a man riding a horse, and it is incredible. It apparently took her around 300 hours to do the drawing, and she is 17 years old. I can't even say the name, and I think it's a guy. I can't even say his name. It's so hard to say, but he's from Seven Lakes High School, and as I said, took 300 hours, or it's a female, actually, it's a girl. It took 300 hours to do this drawing, and they auctioned it off. Do you have any guess how much they auctioned this off for, Now, you think of a pencil drawing done by a high school student. What would you pay, Jamie?
$7?
Yeah, exactly.
A pencil drawing from a high school student? No, I haven't seen the picture. I don't know what you're talking about, so I have no idea.
Well, if it was for charity and it was for a good cause and it was going to go, you know, for scholarships, you might spend $2,000-$3,000 if you had some money, right? You might do that. How about $100,000?
No way. She got a...
No, she didn't. She actually got $205,000.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What does this picture look like? I want to see the picture.
It looks like a Western person riding a paint horse, you know. I don't have a close-up. I'm trying to find a close-up of it. But she's going to receive $30,000 of that, which she plans on using for her college tuition, and the rest will go to fund scholarships. So there you go. It's quite a thing. I mean, I when I saw that story, I just got goosebumps because here she is. She spent all that time on it, and her mom said she was hoping to be in the top 10 of all the artists there, and ended up winning. And then when they sold it for that amount of money, so there's a lot of money going for scholarships and $30,000 to help her with her education. I hope, like heck, she goes to art school because it's pretty darn, you know. $205,000.
Awesome. For a
so there's
drawing.
A good story to follow the boots. Also, I want to mention real quick, Steven Spielberg, War Horse, the movie that we've been talking about—that's coming out about World War One and all that stuff—is the first pictures have been posted. The first still pictures from the movie have been posted, and we'll post a link to that too, so you can go take a look. I cannot wait. It comes out in August. I just can't wait to see this movie. I think because we have the only live morning show in the horse world, we should be invited to the premiere. What do you think? Should I call Stephen and Matt?
Yeah, get Stephen on. I've got him on my speed dial. All I know is that I'm looking at the picture, and it is a cute guy with a cute horse. So you can't lose on that one. Before we go, I got to tell you, can I get the Daily Winnie, please?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong place. Yes, you can.
Okay, the Daily Winnie, and this is like the yearly Winnie, goes out to a man named John Shear. John Shear is a former jockey who has worked at Santa Anita Racetrack for 49 years. He is 90 years old. Let me repeat that. John Shear is 90 years old. He is a paddock guard at Santa Anita now. Obviously, he's not jockey anymore. Well, he was in the paddock, and that's where the horses kind of march around before they go out to start the race. Well, there was a three-year-old that was in the paddock. And about the same time, a six-year-old girl and a three-year-old horse, a six-year-old girl was walking around in the paddock when a three-year-old gelding broke loose from his owner and handler and ran in towards the little girl. Six-year-old girl about to be charged by a three-year-old colt. What happened? John Shear, 90 years old, jumps in front of the horse on top of the girl, completely covers her with his body, and the horse then runs over John Shear. Okay, he is currently in the hospital with several broken bones in the intensive care unit, but Mike Shear, son of John Shear, said that he is now talking, coherent, and in stable condition where he lost a lot of blood. So our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to John Shear, the absolute hero of the year, because he jumped in front of a six-year-old girl and shielded her from a loose horse. That, my friends, is an amazing man. Round of applause for John Shear.
That is amazing.
Come on. By the way, the girl was not hurt at all. She's fine.
You got it. You know, you think, would I do that? You know, that makes you think, you know, he did that. Would I do that? You know, would I have the instinct to do that? And, you know, you don't know until the time, but, boy, wow. Amazing.
It's amazing. We've had some amazing people on our show today. I'm not going to lie.
Well, and I have one more thing to mention before we go. Jackie has her post done, and I've scanned it while you were doing that story to make sure we wanted to talk about it. It's called Behind the Scenes at the Horses in the Morning, and it's on regardinghorses.com, and I'm going to promote it because I didn't see anything in there when I quickly glanced over it that was too bad. So I guess you can go read it. We'll post a link to it. You know, it looks like it's okay. I'm not finding anything in here that we would totally cringe at. She actually compliments Jennifer and you for working with me, so that's something.
Give out the website. It's regardinghorses.com, right?
It's regardinghorses.com, right. And we appreciate Jackie putting the effort into doing that. Thank you very much. We appreciate her writing that. And there's some pictures of us in there as well. So you'll find that that going on at regardinghorses.com. Thank you, Jackie. We appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Don, for sitting there in your boxers and your cowboy hat and talking to us today. And thank you for making us cry our eyeballs out, Jamie. And
thank you, Mary Lou, for being on the show. And go get yourself a pair of fancy boots, Glenn.
Okay, I'm doing that. I'm heading off to the store right now for my boots.